Welcome to Roadcase, the podcast that explores the live music experience. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Josh Rosenberg, and I'll be taking you on a journey through in-depth interviews with performers and key people in the industry to explore the magic of live music, how it can be totally transformative for both fans and performers, and we'll look at how they take it all out on the road. It's going to be a great ride, so here we go. Okay, welcome back to Roadcase, everybody. This is your host, Josh Rosenberg. I am so happy to be here for this part five of the Newport Folk Festival series of in-person interviews. It is the final installment of this series of interviews that I did in person at the Newport Folk Festival, which took place at Fort Adams in Newport, Rhode Island, less than a couple weeks ago, July 28th and 30th. Just an amazing festival. And if you've been tuning in for all of these interviews and for this episode, this festival series of episodes, you'll know that I've just talked to some amazing artists, and this episode is no exception. I've got Jeff Gorman, and Jake Cochran of Illiterate Light to lead off this episode. Then I'm talking to Jake Ewald of Slaughter Beach Dog and Orchestra Gold from Oakland, California, and then Newport's own Leyden Valley, Evan St. Martin and Dave Sarazen of Leyden Valley. If you're here for the first time to listen to Roadcase, welcome to the Roadcase community. If you are a regular listener, welcome back. This is a great episode for you to be here. I'm so glad you're back for this one. There's a number of different ways that you can get involved in the Roadcase community. And I know I say this on every episode, but it is crucial. Go out and support Roadcase by following us on the socials. We are at Roadcase Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also send me an email with your questions, comments, concerns. Would love to hear from you. My email is info@roadcasepod.com. And you can find out more information about Roadcase by visiting our website, www.roadcasepod.com. Another great and easy way to help support Roadcase is to subscribe to Roadcase on your favorite listening platform. If you're on Spotify, it's that little box that says follow on the Roadcase homepage. On Apple Podcasts, up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a check mark. Just click on that and you'll be subscribed to Roadcase. Also, rating and reviewing Roadcase, super cool thing to do. On Apple Podcasts, just scroll up a little bit from the Roadcase homepage. You'll see some stars and a place to write a review. You know what to do. On Spotify, it's super easy. There's a little box with some stars right below that follow box. Just click on that and it's done. Coming up is Illiterate Light to kick off this final installment of the Newport Folk Festival series. Jeff Gorman and Jake Cochran have been playing around as a duo for the past 8 years. I just love these guys. I love their music, and they stopped by the tent to sit down with me on the couch to have a nice chat about the pedal-powered stage that Illiterate Light is hosting at Newport Folk Festival. It is an entirely off-the-grid stage powered by fans that sit down at stationary bikes and grind out pedal revolutions to create energy to power this stage. It's also powered by solar panels that they have. And this is just an amazing thing for Illiterate Light to do. This is the second year that they've hosted this bike-powered stage. And it's really about the environmental impact of touring and what that impact means, and to be more aware of the electricity that bands are using when they're playing, to be more environmentally conscious in these difficult times where we face so many challenges. And fans get to be actually involved in the solution to power this particular stage. It's really just an amazing thing. And they had the full support of Newport Folk Festival. Not only that, they had an amazing lineup of artists over at that stage as well. Illiterate Light has a new digital-only release that's coming out at the end of this month entitled Don't Settle Down. It's the first song on their new EP, which is entitled Aloe, coming out soon. It's a B-side, set of B-sides off their latest album, Sunburn. They got a big tour coming up, so make sure you go to their website to check all of that out, and they're recording new music as we speak. If you'd like to learn more about Illiterate Light, like I said, visit their website. You can also listen to episode 169 here on Roadcase earlier this year. Just a wonderful episode. Love Jake and Jeff. They're both friends of Roadcase, friends of mine. They've been super supportive of the podcast. I love their music. I love these guys, and I love them for that. So, without any further ado, I'll be back after to talk about Slaughter Beach Dog, Orchestra Gold, and Leyden Valley. And here's Jeff Gorman and Jake Cochran of Illiterate Light.
All right, I got Jeff and Jake for Illiterate Light, one of my favorite fucking rock bands right now, man. You guys just absolutely crush every time, and you're great dudes. I love you guys.
It's better to be in person with you. Here. Last time we were Zooming, we were too far away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were, really.
Chicago.
We were worlds away.
I didn't really like you when we were Zooming.
Yeah. No.
I like this.
Not as nice of a guy or something.
I liked watching you rock out so hard yesterday. I snapped that photo. I sent it to you because
You know what? I'm going to post that one.
It's the best energy.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just couldn't help it. And like I posted a picture of the beginning of OBH with the ocean coming out, which for those of you that are not My Morning Jacket fans that are listening to this, listen to My Morning Jacket, first of all. Secondly, One Big Holiday, OBH, last song. And then I just kind of panned in and then started to rock. And I just captioned like, okay, sorry for the abbreviated video, but if you know, you know. I had to get into this now.
Yep. I know. That was epic. That was really a highlight for us. We watched the whole thing side stage.
I know. I saw you guys up there. It was great.
Yep.
It was great.
Had a nice hang with some of the gentlemen afterwards.
Oh, did you? Tell me.
Tom Blankenship, the bassist, came and watched our show over on the bike stage yesterday, and we've been buddies for a few years now, and also just a huge diehard fan. I mean, it was really cool because, you know, last night we just got to tell them just how much their music's meant to us as a band, you know. And
oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, which is great.
What a great opportunity. Don't
I know.
You love being able to do that with an artist? Just like,
yes, yeah. I do. I really do. And it's really from the heart. I was just like, man, you know, this is a really cool experience for Jake and I. We've been a band for 8 years now. I've been a My Morning Jacket fan since 2008. And, you know, I remember walking in 2008, I came to Newport Folk Festival and I was on the Black Crowes tour bus and they were playing here. My Uncle Steve.
Why were you on the Black Crowes?
Uncle Steve is the drummer for the Black Crowes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or was the drummer for the Black Crowes for 25 years, founding member. And so I was on the bus with them.
I should have remembered that. Sorry.
No, you're good. In high school.
Like, you not idiots. Important. Not important.
In high school,
not
I jumped,
important at all.
Jumped on the bus and came up to Newport Folk and saw Jim James playing on this stage right here.
Quad stage.
I had just become a huge fan of Evil Urges. And then I watched the Crowes play, and then fast forward 10 years later and Jake and I performed here for the first time. Fast forward a couple years after that, and now it's our third year here. And not only are we performing, but we're also hosting a stage that is off the grid. So life is very funny. And I just had to sit there and tell the Jacket guys last night, you know, like, you're a huge reason for this, and thank you. Yeah. And it just feels really nice to be able to say that to somebody face to face.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does, man. And thank you for being so great with Roadcase, man. You've always been like just right there for me, and you know.
I'm a believer.
Yeah, we keep in touch, and I really appreciate that a lot.
You got it.
So
you got
it. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And I love cycling. We were talking about cycling a bunch. You doing this, the pedal powered stage, Jake.
Yeah.
You guys were crushing that. I was over there when Tommy was over there also. Guys were crushing it yesterday at your own set, but you've hosted a number of different artists over at that stage. You got people pedaling the bikes to create energy to power the stage. It's completely off the grid, like you said. Tell me, like, how's it going? And just give me a little bit of the pedal power ethos while I got you here.
Person. It's, I mean, the stage has been awesome this year. It's our second year doing it. And, it's just an experience that we want to create for people. The fan, you know, we call fans up from the audience to bike and help power the music. Mm-hmm. We have solar on the other side, and, a lot of it is, you know, we want to talk about the environmental impact of touring and what it's going to be like for musicians like us to be on the road in 20 years and with, you know, facing an environmental crisis. That's a scary thing.
Yeah.
It's a job that's going to get cut at some point, I think. And so we're looking for answers. And a thing that we experienced probably about 10 to 12 years ago is, that powering a show with a bicycle generator is a really unique experience where you get to, as a fan, get involved in the solution. As small as it is, you get to be part of this peaceful, celebratory protest to just say, like, hey, we're doing this thing together, and maybe this isn't solving any bigger problems, but it's something beautiful right now, and since we had that experience, we've just wanted to bring it to as many people as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like act locally and think globally, right? I mean,
perfect.
Or like act in that stage with your legs and then think about this and how much electricity
you're
using. So it is a little ironic.
Totally.
But, you know, we can only, this entire festival can't be powered by, you know,
bicycles.
Pedal alone.
Mm-hmm. No
so
way.
There's a level of electricity necessary. But you guys are diehard cyclists, which I love. Are Jeff, are you as much of a cyclist as Jake?
Both Jake and I are extremely pragmatic in our cycling. So I unfortunately don't get out to, you know, what is cool is living in rural Virginia, the rolling hills. It's amazing to bike out there. And there's great rides. You can go out for freaking 30, 40 miles and just not see a car for hours. It's great.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, it's like I bike all around town. I've got a cool little bike trailer from a company called Bikes at Work.
Yeah.
They're out of Ames, Iowa. It's a utility trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can haul, like, if your brakes will handle it, you can haul like 500 pounds with these things.
Oh, holy shit.
They're very cool. But, you know, I think...
Does the whole mechanism have brakes on it itself? So you're not like...
No, you need to be on like a mountain bike, basically, to pull it.
I wouldn't recommend the 500 pounds.
Yeah, you don't want to go down a hill.
Because I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, they got to make bike trailers that have, like... Because you're always dependent on your own bike brakes when you're trailing something, right?
Yeah. We were... Oh, my gosh, man.
That is kind of a weird... But then you'd have to hook it up, and it'd be weird.
Well, I'll just mention this, you know. It's like, for us, the way we see it, I always try to come back to this sort of like farming analogy. I really feel like what we're doing here as a band, outside of just the music that we make, what we're doing is planting seeds for the future. And I don't think we're even going to really be around to see what these seeds grow into. It takes a really long time to grow a forest. And all we're doing is just planting a few seeds and trees right now so that hopefully ideas and new solutions are being brought up and are just being broadcasted out to the universe. That's really what we're trying to do.
That's great, man. I mean, there's so few artists out there that are really like environmentally conscious and trying to do this in a real concerted effort, man. How'd the whole thing start with Jay and everything? I assume that, you know, obviously the Newport people were involved, clearly.
Right, yeah. So we after playing here in 2019 on the quad stage here, we came back to them a couple years later with the idea of could Jeff and I do a little pop-up stage or performance, really, just two bikes, mm-hmm. an acoustic guitar, and 20 minutes is all we asked for. And they heard about it, and we sent them a little video of it, and they said, how about as many bikes as you can get, and you run a stage for 3 days of the festival? And
let's think big.
We took the challenge and we said, yeah, like, we can make that happen.
Yeah.
And so we've definitely worked closely with Newport folk to make this happen.
And, yeah, clearly.
And something really special about this festival is that we've brought this up to other venues, other events, and a lot of times we just get a like that's cool, but like,
it's a gimmick.
A
it's a gimmick.
Yeah, or just like the production is insane, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things that we think about and talk about with, like, you know, how does this industry move into the next stage of touring? And it's like, it's about their ability to see that and say, we're going to be the ones to push forward and say, like, yeah, we're going to make the bikes work. What do you need from us? The fact that the Newport Folk Fest here did that for us was really special.
It's not just about the looking at it at the stage kind of as an example, but it's sort of like this is what it takes to create that level of energy. Like, we need to put in energy to create the energy that creates the sound that is fucking rock and roll.
And that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, that concept of this is what there's a level of effort that it takes. You don't, it's not just a plug-in. There's things behind that wall. You know, well, and then learning that lesson.
Exactly.
And then taking that, what impact does that have on the environment? Oh, and then we should use plastic less and recycle more and do everything as much as we can to create a positive impact and less of a footprint, I think is really kind of what people need to be thinking about. And it's a perfect way to do it here because it's such an evident example of what it takes from an energy perspective in all its definitions.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you get to really feel it in your body, you know, when you're on the bike there.
I wasn't doing it yesterday. Yeah. It was, well, you did.
I know. And that's a crazy part of it.
I had other work to do, but I did enjoy the music. So thanks to everyone that was pedaling.
Yep, exactly. Huge thanks. And we've got more artists coming up here, but our set yesterday was a blast. It's really fun to be here and, you know, kind of try to juggle wearing two different hats. We're artists and we're performers and we're doing that, but then we're also bringing up other bands and bringing friends into this community. Jake mentioned Palmyra earlier, awesome band from Richmond, Virginia, that we've been just loving seeing them grow. And it's our second year bringing them up here. They tore down the house. Our good friend, yeah, Kyola Jordan, he's the front man of a band called Mo Lauda and the Humble. Mm-hmm. And we played Chicago. You were there. Yeah.
Well, I was also, he was playing,
you saw him,
he
yes.
was doing acoustic set or something.
Yeah.
When Jake, you were showing me how the bikes work yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
I saw him. It was Lincoln Hall show. Yeah.
Amazing artist, amazing songwriter. Mo Lauda is just really, really doing great things right now. And to bring him into this, you know, it feels awesome to us. So, you know, that's one of the cool things about Newport is they're so artist friendly. Like, they've handed over the keys to us and they're just like, have at it, you know? And I think we've proven that we're trustworthy and, you know, we know what we're doing and we meet deadlines and all that stuff, but it's pretty rad. You know, it's pretty rad that they want this to be really, the artists are so involved here. People are collaborating, you know, it's just it's an incubator and a place that's going to move our culture forward.
Yeah. One question about, so let's go back briefly to the jacket thing. What was their response? Like, what was kind of, did you walk away feeling like you were heard?
I did. Yeah. I spoke with Carl, Tom, and Patrick, but yeah, really with Tom, I just got to kind of gush and, you know, it's like, and those guys, they're not out there on an ego trip at all.
No,
you know,
it's
like,
they want to hear, I think you'd be surprised as to how much they like to hear, you know?
Well, also the thing, I mean, immediately, you know, everybody was just like, what are you guys up to? Like, how's everything going with Illiterate Let? You know, it wasn't just like, tell me exactly what you love. You know, it was just kind of like, yeah, man, thank you.
Not to mention, you're one of the only bands out there that are doing jacket covers.
Yeah, I know, which is surprising.
So maybe like the only, I mean, I think I'd know about if there were other bands doing jacket covers.
I mean, it's surprising to me. Yeah, it's like I really am a diehard, so I love their whole discography.
Jake, are you big?
For sure.
Yeah.
I was watching you lose it in the crowd and just trying to keep myself together up on the, I was like, I can't be that guy up here.
Everyone's looking at you. Yeah. I only got you guys looking at me.
No, I love that.
I always remember something like Jerry Garcia was saying about seeing Bill Graham side stage and how Jerry Garcia was always super impressed that Bill Graham was like so fucking into it side stage.
Yeah.
And Bill was talking about, yeah, man, you got to feel the music kind of like in your belly.
Yeah,
like,
good.
You know, you want a manager, you want somebody. Yeah. Like, I was always kind of like, you know, it's my band, man. I'm like, I feel that music so much.
Yeah, you have to, you know? And you have to be a fan, too. Like, that's the thing that
I
love.
I'm doing this
like,
honestly. Like, yeah, I'm doing this as a fan.
I'm not blowing smoke at anybody. Yeah,
When I talk about what that feeling is in the audience from the fan perspective and what impact that has on the artist up on stage to see that and also that energy exchange that occurs, I'm speaking from a place of experience and knowing what that feels like from being out there as well. But then I like listening to the artists talk about what that impact is. You guys get like completely involved. You're going fucking bonkers up there. I was thinking of you yesterday when I was out there. I'm like, well, I can't be looking as crazy as Jake looks behind the fucking drum kit, man.
Yeah. You were. You looked at least that crazy.
Yeah. Okay, good. You were going nuts. You threw your sunglasses out there. I got them all on video, man. It's
you know amazing. What's funny? I loved the animal closing thing because it was like
the Muppets thing.
In many ways, you know, because in a few years ago, Jim James did the Kermit the Frog tribute, which was great. And it was a callback
to
that.
The rainbows.
But if you want to kind of tweak Rainbow it out connection. A little bit deeper, you know, it's like in some ways, like animals, like letting your freak flag fly and just being like, man, I am just totally wild inside. And I loved like seeing that because, you know, it's like, artists contain both of those sides, and a band like My Morning Jacket, and hopefully we try to contain this too. You want to be able to hold both of those things together, the peaceful Kermit the Frog rainbow connection, and then also that side of you that just says, man, I am just an animal. I'm like, it's all chaotic energy and it's okay, and I'm just gonna let that freak flag fly. And right. like both of those things are not at war with each other in any way. And so I loved seeing that. I was kind of tripping out on like some more of the meta perspective with it, but I go
there with you. I'm totally you know going saying? There with you. But from a fan perspective, I can go bonkers in the crowd and not worry about having to perform something, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, and come on, like, okay, I wasn't going that crazy, right, guys?
No, yeah, I'm giving you.
People were talking.
I was into it. Yeah. You know, I mean, it like someone great. That's loving the music, but you're up there. I mean, Jake's got the fucking drumsticks in his hand, so he's going.
He's the weapons.
I'm going to give you, that's a little bit.
I have a one up there for sure.
I think so. Because like, also your physical body can be an embodiment, not to like, okay, that was awkward, but of the power and the energy. Like I would like to be behind a drum kit while I'm listening to Jacket and just like, oh yeah, I'm feeling that,
laying into it.
When you're on guitar, Jeff, there is a physical dexterity that requires kind of a level of calmness.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and part of that is because I'm playing bass with my feet. So I can't
that too. Durr.
So I can't
mention that.
Yeah. It doesn't come up too
Thanks
much.
For reminding me that it does get more complicated. I actually, I refer to you a lot when I talk to people about the bassist and how, you know, if they either do or don't, but the bass pedal thing comes up. I'm like, because the guys are like, yeah, we had a bassist guy. We're not going to play with it. I'm like, well, at least you're not Jeff Gorman playing bass with your feet.
I know. Hey, it's a tough job sometimes.
Or Geddy Lee. It's a small group.
You know, so I get to do my headbanging, but I kind of got to be a little stationary. And if I fall over or something like that, then, you know, if Jake falls over, he can get back up.
Has it been falling over?
You know,
oh, definitely.
There's been, you know, it's always nice. It's a good part of the show.
Yeah.
But when I fall over, we lose the bass end, the low end, you know. So I do have, so that's part of Illiterate Light. You know, we're kind of balancing two different forms of energy there and trading it back and forth.
Yeah. You mean, two different, you mean two guitar different. And drums. Three well, different, I mean, or you three, mean that?
Well, I guess
the
I mean
energy
between
crowd.
Jake and I, because you know, there's a stable energy, and then there's a outward crazy energy.
Right. Yeah, that's the balance I'm talking about. It's a hard one. It's a hard line to walk. Right?
Yeah, but it's fun. That's what I like about it. Yeah. I like having both of those things happen. You know,
right.
Like
clearly.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. New stuff. So you said you've got an electronic EP. What'd you call them again?
We call it a digital goober, because sometimes it's funny if you put out a song only digitally and you don't have any form of, if you don't press it, you know, it just is like a little kind of MP3 out in the universe.
Does it exist?
I know it's a goober. Yeah. But we're, you know, what's cool is we're putting a new song out in just about a month, and we got to play it here yesterday at Newport. So it's called Don't Settle Down, and it's kind of a lot of punk energy, and it's just about creating a riot, doing what you believe in.
Is it out there now?
It's coming out in a month. Oh, yeah, cool. That's when the Goober drops. And although
Digital Goober.
Yeah, the Goober dropped in real time in the
Is
real
there a
world.
Title to it?
It's called Don't Settle Down.
Don't Settle Down. Yeah. Did you just say that?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll edit that
See,
out.
But that's what happens with Digital Goobers.
I'm
you can't
of the next question.
Digital Goobers are all over the you never know, you know. So I
I got to go hit the iced coffee tent again.
I hear you.
But anyway, so that's coming out, and then that's the first song on a new EP. Uh-huh. The EP is called Aloe, and it's B-sides from Sunburned, our record that we put out earlier this year.
Right on.
And then we've got a lot more stuff that we're cooking up right now. So if folks are interested, hit us up online, Illiterate Light, Instagram, all that jazz, follow us on Spotify.
I'm always trying to rep you guys, so we'll make sure that the audience knows about all that stuff. And
killer.
Definitely. If you're listening to this and haven't listened to Illiterate Light, please go out and do that now, or just don't listen to Roadcase anymore, because we're big fans of fucking Illiterate Light.
Hell yeah.
You guys
Thank
are awesome.
You.
What about touring? You guys going to come to Chicago and regale me with the fucking rock vibes?
We're nailing it down for 2024. This year we have like 50 dates, but that doesn't route us back through Chicago, because we were there back in...
Yeah,
it feels
that's,
like 10
that's
years
a
me ago.
Problem,
it was
where are you guys headed?
It was April. You know, it was 3 months ago.
There's like, just so much going on.
Yeah,
I've been like, oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going, you know, we do the whole East Coast. We get out to Denver. We go through the Southeast. So, you know, Austin, Texas, Dallas, New Orleans, Atlanta, Georgia, you know, work our way back up the coast.
Right.
Some few festivals here and there. And we're still, you know, working on new music, recording new music in our off time.
Yeah. Awesome. Jake, I'm going to give you the last word since Jeff gets the first, second, and middle words.
I'm just going to go with Digital Goober. Look out for the Digital Goober.
A man of few words, but like immeasurable energy standing behind the drum kit.
That's me.
Love you guys.
Love you back.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks so much. Thanks for being here, man. This is a super pleasure. I'm glad that we worked it out.
Me too.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, that was me talking to Jeff Gorman and Jake Cochran from Newport Folk Festival. I just can't say enough great things about these guys. I love them so much. I love what they do. And this bike, the bike stage is just amazing. A pedal-powered stage entirely driven by the efforts of fans on stationary bikes and solar panels. It's entirely off the grid. The embodiment of think globally, act locally, and really focuses on the environmental impact of touring like we talked about. Great story from Jeff, of course. It had slipped my mind that his uncle, Steve Gorman, was the drummer for original founding member, drummer of the Black Crowes. And when, you know, Jeff talked about coming here, getting off the Black Crowes tour bus in 2008 and seeing My Morning Jacket at Newport Folk Festival for the first, I think was for the first time, or was his first time at Newport. Amazing story, and loved hearing about them talk about Jacket and the show and the set that they played the night before. Just really great stuff. I love these guys so much. Thanks again to them for being on the show. I really hope that the bike stage and this pedal-powered stage will be a permanent fixture at Newport. It's just absolutely wonderful. Illiterate Light has a new digital-only release coming out towards the end of this month entitled Don't Settle Down. It's going to be the first song on a new EP that's forthcoming entitled Aloe, which are B-sides off their latest album, Sunburn. Of course, once you get sunburned, you need to apply the aloe. That's the joke there that I never talked about during the episode. They got a big tour coming up. Make sure you visit their website and subscribe to them on Instagram to follow all the news from Illiterate Light. Thanks again to Jake and Jeff of Illiterate Light for being here. Next up is Jake Ewald of Slaughter Beach Dog. This is Jake Ewald and Slaughter Beach Dog's first visit to Newport, and you can sense the excitement and the wonderment, if you will, of Jake being at this festival for this very first time. He's so psyched about it. They got a new album coming out on September 22nd entitled Crying, Laughing, Waving, Smiling. Jeff's also a big Hold Steady fan and just coincidentally, I had Jake sitting on the couch when the Hold Steady fired up over on the quad stage right next door to the media tent. So that was a little ironic. And there's a variety of different reasons why the Hold Steady is important for Jake. They're going on a UK tour shortly, and then they'll be on a US tour, big US tour, November and January. You can find out more information at the Slaughter Beach Dog website. I'll be back on after to talk a little bit more about Jake and introduce Orchestra Gold and Leyden Valley. And here's Jake Ewald.
Jake Ewald.
Am I saying the last name right, man?
Hard E. Ewald.
Ewald. Like Ewok. It's easy to remember. You've never heard that before. Slaughter Beach Dog. And you had to change that name because Slaughter Beach was already taken. And you just put like dog on the end, which is super millennial, man. Congrats.
Thanks.
Jake and I are having just an amazing time just sitting here, hoping he doesn't pour water all over my expensive electronic equipment. But, you know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
First time in Newport. How you feeling it? This is just an amazing place, man. And I know I say that in like a lot of the interview, but it's the vibe, and everyone feeling it.
Yeah, we're definitely feeling it really hard. We don't play really festivals at all. So to come here and experience, you know, a festival of this, like, you know, kind of, not to go in too deep too fast, but like emotional,
let's get
spiritual
deep. We gotta
caliber.
Get deeper. We gotta get go fast.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's such a feeling here, and it kind of hits you right away. So yeah, we're feeling it.
How did it hit you?
Just the sense of community, the sense of family, the sense of like seeing different generations here, seeing like, you know, the thing that probably struck me the most yesterday was when I was doing an interview over here, and it was right as James
you
Taylor
do
went
other,
on.
You do other interviews?
Oh, sorry. I didn't do any other interviews yesterday.
Okay.
I was in the bathroom and James Taylor went on. And I didn't know he was going to play.
Neither did anyone else, apparently. And I'm really disappointed that I missed it.
Well, I walked over to the side of the stage and I was watching him just sitting in a fucking folding chair, playing acoustic guitar, telling stories for like thousands of people. And just to feel like, because that's, you know, that's what I care about. Somebody sitting in a chair, playing acoustic guitar and telling a story.
Yeah.
And to just see so intensely that there is still an audience for that
right
here. Like people are so invested in that, you know, which doesn't like, it's so, I don't come across that very many other places.
Not that I think it's ultra special here at Newport. I think because we're all kind of this vibe. I love this vibe. I love the folk vibe. I love the rock vibe. The folk and the rock vibe here are alive.
Yeah.
There's other festivals where there's a different vibe and that's alive as well. Mm-hmm. And I love that about all festivals. Mm-hmm. It seems like here, this is an extremely self-aware festival, it feels. They're aware of what, it's been around for so long. They're aware of what the impact it had. Mm-hmm. They're aware of the Bob Dylan effect in 1965. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that story. I had Jay Sweet on the show. We talked about it quite a bit.
Nice.
It has this kind of its own ethos that lives on apart above and beyond the music as well, you know, the foundation, they're giving money to help support music, organizations that help support music in communities. And they do a lot of different things. I had Illiterate Light guys on, Jake and Jeff, who are doing the pedal powered stage over there. We talked about that a bunch. There's you know, environmental stuff. And
that's the thing that's crazy is so many festivals now are like just so clearly a cash grab.
Right.
And that's what's so arresting about coming here is that everything about it is so like filtered and refined, and everything that's happening here is happening for a reason. It was all deliberate. It was because people like Jay Sweet cared and are like investing in keeping this thing alive and providing this space. And it's not just, it's not just like a fucking huge banner with like whoever's name is the biggest so we can, you know, make however many billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a, you know,
somebody's making money, but
somebody's
for a good reason, people have to make money and, you know,
but to
it's
actually
not, it's
be
not
like keeping the tradition alive and not just trying to jump on whatever the trend is.
Right.
You know?
Right. So tell me a little bit about your story, Jake. You know, you're here in Newport for the first time. We've talked about how important this is. Got like a big moment. And what's it been like kind of leading up to this for you?
I don't know. I played in, me and our bass player, Ian, played in a punk band for maybe like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
It was called Modern Baseball. We started it when we were in college. It was a thing where, you know, it kind of went really well, really fast, and it was a really overwhelming experience, and we were super young. And then that band broke up, and I started writing kind of different songs, and I don't know. I always felt drawn to like more this kind of music, like folkier stuff, and more like, I don't know, mellowed out stuff a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of nuts that we, I don't know. I never thought we would get to be here. I never thought we would get to do this. It kind of felt like an unattainable thing forever. Like we just, you know, we started Slaughter Beach Dog and we did a lot of just like laps around the country. We did not a ton of touring, but we would go on tour really consistently every year, just playing our own shows to however many people would show up, you know. And it's been a really like slow growth kind of thing. And there's a lot of focus on writing the songs and a lot of focus on like refining the band and the arrangements and stuff. And the whole time it's, I don't know, that's been the focus for most of this.
Yeah.
And we've never been a band that like, we've kind of had to find our own opportunities in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you feel like you've been working hard to get to this point, and it's got to feel gratifying. Does it feel gratifying
for
you?
Totally, yeah, totally. Because it was so unexpected, and it was like...
Always, how did you find out?
It was actually... it was like... It kind of felt like one of the most rock and roll things that has happened to us. We were playing a show in Boston in January at the Sinclair, and my amazing old friend Eric, who's also our manager, was at that show and was talking to the promoter at the Boston show, and the promoter was watching us and saying like, you know, I think these guys would be really good for Newport. I'm gonna text the Newport booker right now. He was just watching us play in Boston, and then like 2 weeks later we were on the festival.
Oh my god.
And it was like,
so it really is ask for what you want or need, and who knows what can happen, right? You got to put it out there. That's a huge example of that. Holy shit.
And like, it was so cool that, like, you know, there were a lot of years where we tried to get opportunities by, like, you know, if we could just know the right person or like get to the right place or make the right connection or whatever it was. But to have that happen through us actually just like working so hard on the music and have somebody watch us play the music and say, oh, they should do this, just felt like really good.
Yeah.
You know,
that kind of stuff never gets old. And I hope that's like the first in a lineup of a bunch of different things. I mean, I'm sure cool shit has happened to you before, but really to lead up to Newport, that's a great story.
Yeah.
And we've got the Hold Steady in the background.
I can hear,
You're staying very calm, dude. And Jake's bio, when they're sending out the Slaughter Beach Dog bio, is written as a memo from Craig Finn.
Yeah.
So I know. So we'll get this done quickly so you can get over here at the quad stage. Now I understand the timing and everything.
Sure.
And now you understand how hard it is for me to sit over here and listen to all these great bands all day on the quad stage in the background.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm you know, not asking for a pat on the back or anything, but maybe just a little snuggle later on. That's all. Tell me about the impact of that, of what this band has had on you, as they're probably playing your favorite song right now.
Yeah, I found the Hold Steady randomly on iTunes in like sixth grade, probably, and was just immediately, as a kid who grew up listening to, you know, mostly just Green Day and Blink-182 before that, hearing Craig sing the way that he sang and talk about the things that he talked about in like the way that he talked about them. And it was just so, you know, in your face, but still poetic and still like powerful. It really, like, I didn't understand it for a while. And I honestly, there was a while where like there were so many songs that I didn't like as a kid, but there were certain songs I always came back to. And it was just this, I was drawn to it. And I just kept coming back to it because there was something inside me that was like, I don't totally understand this yet, but it keeps pulling me in.
Yeah.
And I think one day it's going to click. And then I think once I got to college, it really hit.
You unlocked the code.
Unlocked it, got into all the records. And yeah. then as I think Craig started doing the solo records around the time that our last band, Modern Baseball, was kind of like nearing an end.
Right.
And that was so inspiring for me to see him do that and like, I don't know, just hear how he was progressing in his own way. And
yeah.
he's just like, he's one of my favorite songwriters. He's been an idol for a really long time. And whenever we got in touch as we were wrapping up the record and
yeah.
sent it to him, and just like to be able to, you know, get to know him and like have him hear our stuff, and it's yeah,
awesome.
It's messed up.
I know. And did we create this timing any better than this? I didn't even really realize it until they came on stage.
Yeah, I did not realize this would happen.
This is amazing.
Party pit, man.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, I love this feel. It's kind of like less of a, it's a, like a less poppy. Who's the Welcome Interstate managers?
Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that
absolutely.
Kind of in your face, matter of fact storytelling
yeah.
that
yes.
you like, you listen to it. And every time you listen to it, it rewards you even more because you unlock a different kind of angle of the fucking story.
Exactly.
You're nodding your head.
Exactly.
Did I nail yeah. that or what?
No, dude? The music that rewards repeated listens is my
right.
favorite music and is absolutely like
I love
the
that.
Music that we aspire to make.
It's folk. There's a folk element to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beautiful combination of music and lyrics that come together to tell that amazing story. But then if you look at it from a different angle, it gets even better.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. yeah
it keeps
yeah.
revealing itself.
Yeah. You got a new album coming out on September 22nd. Crying, Laughing, Waving, Smiling with no commas, which I love.
We decided at the last minute that we're doing commas.
Oh, fuck the comma people.
Sorry, man. Hey, we have a comma in the band name.
True. It's you Slaughter know? Beach. Dog.
Just feels right. Yeah.
Slaughter Beach Dog. How are you? Where's the emphasis on that?
I feel like a lot of times the comma kind of gets disregarded in
Slaughter
audibly.
Slaughter the Beach Dog.
Yeah.
There's that
yeah.
too.
There's a lot of confusion
yeah.
around
yeah,
the name.
I see a tour merch t-shirt with a dog named Slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That could be
just good and confusing at the same time.
yeah.
Listen to a couple singles, I think, of that
yeah.
album. Absolutely wonderful stuff,
thanks, Josh.
Man. God thank damn.
You. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming my way, man, because
yeah.
I'm a fan.
Thanks, man.
It's just great stuff. And I had Greg Allen Isaacoff
yeah.
here earlier
yeah.
in the day, who I'm sure you're like
totally
a big devotee.
He's ahead.
He's amazing. And he's so fucking humble. And like,
yeah.
he's like, okay, I write songs. People show
yeah.
up. I'm still in disbelief.
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got exciting things, I'm sure, coming up, man.
Yeah, we got the record's coming out in September. We're going to the UK right after that, and then we're touring around the States in November and January. Yesterday was the first time that we actually played a bunch of the new songs for
oh, cool.
anyone, and it
yeah.
felt
how
great.
Was it? Yeah,
it was really good.
Reaction.
Yeah.
Was it the reaction that you expected? It's always interesting to kind of hear what that's about. Sometimes it's a little different. Sometimes it can be
yeah.
affirming, or it kind of changes the way you look at a song.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, to be honest, the nerves were high.
I bet.
Coming to Newport for the first time, and
right,
also just
right.
looking out at, you know, not only a seated audience, but like a lot of the people in seats are, you know, the older folks.
Yeah.
So to be staring out at like hundreds of seated, like, real adults, you know, who are
right.
there to hear music.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, is your music good or not?
It lends a level of gravitas to the
yeah.
proceedings, right?
But honestly, to see, like, you know, all those people, when we would get some head nods going, when we got into
awesome.
A good groove,
yeah.
it was like, oh, wow, this is cool. And there were, like, you know, there were people that I saw singing along to some of the singles that we did put out.
Oh, that must be great. Super gratifying.
Yeah.
They just came out recently and people
yeah.
are already super into them. You had
so,
some fans there. Or it could be like MD. Yeah. We were talking about people seated and kind of stayed environment, which is...
Yeah.
It's in a good way. I think people are very focused. The fans here are very focused and they're here
yes.
for the music.
Which, like, we don't get a lot of the time in a rock club, you know?
Right.
People go to talk to their friends
right.
or to get drunk or whatever it is, but...
Yeah.
yeah.
right? I mean, that's got to be completely annoying. It can be annoying. You're not going to say that, but I'll say it for you, man. Or you can be like Mdou Mokhtar yesterday, who was that African sidecar.
But I really wanted to.
Amazing. He called everybody up to the rail, and everyone just went nuts. So it became like an actual festival at that point.
That's awesome.
In that sense. Anyway. Jake, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thank you for having me, Josh.
I'm really glad that I was able to catch you for a few minutes. We'd love to have you on the show another time. Come by and we'll talk for do an hour long an interview at some point, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Continued success. Good luck with this new album.
Thank you.
Crying, laughing, waving, smiling with commas now. Because I'm not
now,
being crazy, right? There was no there were no commas.
I thought that
looked cool. But
We can't be that cool. We have to stay humble.
Yeah, you know. I mean, commas aren't for everybody.
It's true.
You know, some people can handle them, some people can't.
We'll find out if we can handle them or not.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Are you comma worthy? I think that you are, Jake.
Thank you. Thanks, Josh. Man. It's
great to have you on the show, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much for being here. Cheers.
Okay, that was me and Jake Ewald having a nice conversation. He's such a good dude, thoughtful, funny, quick-witted, just a great interview. He highlighted the fact that he was a generous interview when we were talking before we came on the air, and he was truthful. That was true. Really enjoyed talking to Jake. His first time at Newport, super psyched about it. I love how he talked about the audience being so incredibly attentive and looking out over the crowd of quote-unquote seated adults who are actually there to listen and hear the music. And they played a couple new cuts from their upcoming album, and must have been such a trip. He talked about how he saw people singing the words, and just really a great experience. He doesn't play a lot of festivals, so that must have been just amazing to him. And also the coincidence of having Hold Steady in the background, one of clearly one of Jake's favorite bands. And the band bio that the publicist will send to me typically so that I can just kind of read a little bit of a quote-unquote official background on a band, for Slaughter Beach Dog, that was actually a memo in the form of a memo to Jake from Craig Finn, actually. So super coincidental that I had him on. That was not planned to have him on during the Hold Steady. So just kind of a funny inside thing that that was really, really highlighted part of what Jake's influences were leading up to Newport, and an important part of his career in songwriting as well. Slaughter Beach Dog has a new album coming out September 22nd entitled Crying, Laughing, Waving, Smiling, with, I guess, some commas in there because we settled that. They're going on a UK tour coming up shortly and a US tour in November and January. You can visit their website for more information. Next up is the African psych band Orchestra Gold, the collaboration of Mariam Diakite and Eric Huffaker. Mariam is from the West African country of Mali originally, and Orchestra Gold is based in Oakland, California. It's a longtime collaboration between Mariam and Eric, and Orchestra Gold is solely dedicated to the pursuit of spreading healing and community through the universal gift of music. They have a 2023 album out earlier this year entitled Medicine. It was recorded at John Vanderslice's studio, Tiny Telephone, in Oakland, California. Just an intriguing place to record music. I had John Vanderslice on the show a couple of years ago. I really love the African psych vibe, and this band really delivers. Their set at Newport was outstanding. You can visit and learn more information about Orchestra Gold by visiting their website. They also have a special part of the website called The Vault that you can subscribe to and get more content and music from Orchestra Gold, and also support the band as well. It's a sliding scale of monthly payments. Please go visit their website. This is kind of a crazy interview. Ton of band members in addition to Mariam and Eric. Mariam did not speak only a little bit of English during this interview, so Eric translates for her. The Mali language is absolutely amazing. It's the Bambara dialect, and that is what she sings on stage. It is a highly symbolic dialect in the country of Mali, and I know that you're really going to enjoy this. I'll be back after this episode to talk a little bit more about Orchestra Gold and introduce the last interview on this episode with Leighton Valley. But first, here's Orchestra Gold.
Well, I got the whole gang here. Yeah. Orchestra Gold. You guys were on the quad stage earlier. You fucking crushed it. It was so amazing, you guys. I got Eric, Miriam, Luis,
Scott and Kevin.
And Scott and Kevin, man.
Yes.
You know, we kind of have this geographical commonality too. I'm from California. I love Northern California. You guys based in Oakland?
We're based in Oakland, correct.
Is that where the amazing African psych thing is happening now, right? I mean, just incredible stuff. Wow. And Thank I just you. Saw Mdou Mokhtar here.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
He's phenomenal. And yeah. I just had just seen him the week before at Pitchfork.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And nice. And I've seen him years past and they just keep getting better. So, yeah. You know, there's some competition out there, but, you know, there's room for everybody.
There is.
But do you see, Eric, like a movement of African psych rock, or am I just coming? Am I late onto the party here?
Because yeah.
I think it's absolutely enthralling. And
oh, definitely.
With my own classic rock background and love, it's really an amazing lane for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I think that the, like the influence of the Zamrock stuff, which is getting really popular now, that band Witch, We Intend to Cause Havoc, they're kind of having a moment right now where they're touring a lot more.
Uh-huh.
We're actually playing with them at Pickathon next weekend.
Oh, cool.
And
Witch,
kind of
they're called?
Witch.
Witch, yeah, like the witch, cause, like in yeah. the Wicked Witch, or Witch, which yeah. one? No, the former. Yeah. Okay. We can go down the road on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely a moment. I think our project, what's unique about this is it's kind of more of a cross-cultural experiment.
Yeah.
In the sense that we're based here and we are blending the music of Mariama's traditions with like our influence as a band too. So it's kind of like the meeting of those two worlds. And her and I have known each other for over 15 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a... it's a creative conversation.
And it was literally the meeting of both worlds. You guys, did you meet in... Mariam, welcome to the show. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah. Hi, Mariam.
Hi.
How you doing? How did you meet Eric?
Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Mariam?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Mali, West Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Mali, West Africa. Is 16 years ago right now.
About 15 years
about
ago.
About 15 years yeah. ago you guys met?
Yeah, we met about 15 years ago.
In a musical context, like at a show or when you
My
were...
djembe teacher introduced me to Mariama.
Your which teacher?
My djembe teacher, like drumming. Uh-huh. I was studying percussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my friend. Uh-huh. His name, Maché Traoli.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
How did you get come to the States at that time?
How did you come
yeah,
here?
Yeah, one day, Eric, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can kind of. Yeah, you might want to speak up a little bit. We got Bartiz Strange in the background. He's loud.
Yeah, one day, Eric asked me, do you like come America for sing for me, my group? I say yes, why not? I like to come sing for Orchestra Gold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like living in, and you live in Oakland now?
Yeah.
Do you like it there?
Yeah, I like.
What a great spot, right? Is there a lot of psych rock and stuff happening there right now? Is that a group?
Would you guys
place?
Say that there's a lot of psych rock happening in the Bay Area right now?
I see a lot of just in general, like Afrobeats are getting big, like in global pop charts. So you have like artists like Burna Boy, right? Like who's like a crossover in Europe, and he's from Nigeria, and he's doing Afrobeats, and this is like a movement that's happening under everybody's feet that nobody's noticing. And we've just kind of picked up on that vibe, and we're just like taking it to the next level. So it's like, is it in the Bay? No, but there are bands there that have this like world vibe, world psychedelic vibe, and it's a global Afrobeat music that's like beyond the US charts, right? Europe, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and it's getting here now. And so I think that's probably the way I see our context. So
are we kind of at the forefront of African psych rock in this country then? Is that, can I infer that from what you're saying?
Yeah, it started, I mean, you know, it's not like something that we like chose we didn't choose we're going to be in that, you know, like,
no,
we're
no, that's
be,
not what I'm saying, but I mean, like, where are, like, it's interesting because you bring that up about the development of this. Like, I, and anytime I hear African psych rock, I'm so like psyched. Okay. Not to mix metaphors, but to actually know about this music and to learn about like yet another band in Orchestra Gold that is really doing what you do.
Yeah, I think that in this market, yes, it's been surprising to us, honestly. Like, yeah. We're, you know, we work really hard and we're making our music the best way we know how, but it was like everything, like people's tastes kind of caught up to us.
Right. I mean, you're here in Newport Folk.
Yes,
this
absolutely,
is ostensibly
yeah.
a folk festival, but not really. But I mean, there's such incredible diversity here and stuff. What does this mean to you guys to be here at Newport Folk? Any of you guys?
It's Scott.
Scott,
did you hear? He wants to know what it means for you to be here at Newport Folk.
Yeah, we're kind of all diverse here. We have three mics throwing it around to everybody. But Mike, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I think it's really cool. It's an honor to be here. I don't take it for granted. You know, there's a million acts who would love to share their art on a platform like this. And so to be invited as Orchestra Gold to present what we have is a privilege. It's also like affirming and a validation of sorts with the prestige of a festival like this.
Yeah.
To be here and get to share and sort of open up a new audience to us, introduce ourselves to a new audience and sort of like expand what we're doing, get influenced by what we're seeing here and make connections with other people. It's really cool. It's a really special opportunity. So.
Have you been able to mix with other artists?
A few,
What's been some kind of significant thing that's occurred so far being here at this festival? Like, did you guys just get here today?
Yeah, we got
you
here
were
today.
In New York yesterday?
We were in Brooklyn last night.
Uh-huh.
So we got in today. Well, we've had a chance in the artist tent to sort of mingle and just talk to a few folks and make a few connections. But it's a privilege to be here.
That's cool.
You know, we're really
that's
thrilled
cool.
to be here. Yeah. And especially when something's like Newport Folk and we're like, we don't necessarily play folk. You know, for them to invite us, open the door.
Well, MDU warmed everybody up yesterday, but like nothing compares to like the dancing and the vibe. It's completely different, but it's also kind of, you know, let's do the African Psych Fest, man. When is that thing coming up? I'm sure you guys play those all the time, right?
No.
No, do you like?
I don't know.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know where to find us.
Yeah. So who's the Oakland native? Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah, me and Eric are from Southern California.
Oh yeah, where are you guys from?
I think he's from Riverside, and I'm from like Anaheim.
Oh, I grew up in LA.
It's very unremarkable. Kevin also is from Southern Cal.
All right, okay.
Kevin,
where are you from, Kevin?
I'm from Los Angeles originally.
Cool. Whereabouts?
Like over on the west side, like near Santa Monica area.
Oh, nice. Venice is my vibe. I was just there actually. So I grew up in the Valley, in Sherman Oaks. So, so tell me about the Malian. Who can tell me most about the Malian dance tradition and what that means to Orchestra Gold? The dance tradition? You have a
dance. Yeah. I have to tell you Latin, but my English is a little bit.
You want to translate?
Yeah.
You can translate. You can, yeah.
Abifeka donyado munde nyado Mali dance class la.
I can tell you a little bit about what Malian dance is to me.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, Malila ame dance class di Malila amana tayro ame dance class di no me ntado akany ningali dance class adabora munde kama o abifeka munde
don. Malidon. We have lots of different dance traditions in Mali, she says.
Yeah, parce que si a chama ba fe no Malila.
There's a lot of different ethnic groups in Mali. And each of those ethnic groups has their own traditions and their own dance cultures. There's also like a modernized style of dance that we call ballet, which happens in like cultural centers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And ask her about the dance school also, the Orchestra Gold. Isn't there an Orchestra Gold dance school as well?
Yeah, Ika Situabu. Malian dance for everybody.
Anifana me dance classic di Yorochamana Inafo Nevera City.
She has an online school called Malian Dance for Everybody. If you haven't noticed, she's a dance professional. That's one of her main jobs in Mali.
I noticed.
Yeah. And she also teaches in person. In fact, tomorrow, which is going to be July 30th, she's teaching a dance class in Portland, Maine. But when we're in California, she teaches in Santa Cruz, Grass Valley, Nevada City.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great. Great. I love the integration of the dance into this, into the whole thing that you guys are doing up there. It's just absolutely amazing. And the crowd was so into it, and that energy that you create. It's really, it's so amazing.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry, I can only spend a really short time with you guys, but you know, thanks for coming by the tent. It was so great to see you, and I'm so happy to be able to introduce you guys to the Roadcase audience.
Yeah.
And everybody, go out and see Orchestra Gold. They are absolutely wonderful. They will blow you away.
Thank you.
Such a great time, you know.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks a lot for being here. Thanks, Luis. Thanks, Eric. Cheers. Okay, that was Orchestra Gold, Mariam Diakite and Eric Huffaker. And of course, Luis Andrade also joined in. Just a wonderful group of musicians. And the Malian influence is just absolutely extraordinary. Interesting to hear there are different dance cultures within each of the many ethnic groups in Mali. And Mariam explained a little bit about that level of culture, because dance really makes up a huge part of what Orchestra Gold does on the stage, in addition to the amazing psychedelic and Afro beat vibes that they put out there. Mariam also runs an online dance school called Malian Dance for Everybody, and also teaches in person in Northern California, and does in-person teaching apparently as they go along on tour. Just a wonderful group of people. Sorry for kind of the crazy interview there, but really wanted to have them on the show, and so glad I was able to introduce them to you all. Their most recent album is entitled Medicine, came out earlier this year, and please go to their website, Orchestra Gold's website, to find out more information about tour dates and other things, and you can look at the and subscribe to their vault on their website. Offers a number of different content and a whole bunch of different content there, and you can help help them out by subscribing as well. There's a sliding scale, so just go and check that out and see if that works for you. They are really a wonderful band. So glad I got to have them on the show. Thanks so much to Mariam, Eric, and Luis for being on Roadcase. Next up, and to bring to a conclusion this Newport Folk Festival series of interviews, is Evan St. Martin and Dave Sarazen of Leyden Valley. They are Newport, Rhode Island natives. This is the first time that they played Newport. They opened up the entire 2023 edition of Newport Folk Festival by playing as the first set on the main stage. These guys were just absolutely blown away by that, and it's so great to hear their reactions, and we'll talk about that quite a bit and what that meant to them, being from Newport, having seen that stage primarily from the crowd, and now all of a sudden they're talking to Jay Sweet backstage, they're playing on the main stage. Absolutely extraordinary. Their 2021 release is entitled Landline. They're working on some new material now and have recorded some of material for the upcoming release in Texas with Robert Ellis. Heads up for singles that are coming up from these guys. So happy to close down this Newport Folk Festival series with this amazing new band from Newport, Rhode Island, who opened up the entire festival. So here is Evan St. Martin and Dave Sarazen of Leyden Valley. All right, we got the Evan and Dave show here.
Here we are.
Leyden Valley here. You guys, okay, this is, like, I love this interview because you guys are from Newport, and I want the whole story about getting an email. I talked to your friend. Can I say her name on the show?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Your friend Callie, who is a big fan. She's in the audience. So I'm at your, you played the fourth stage. You're like the first fucking band opening Newport 2023. You're from Newport, Rhode Island. Like,
come on, guys, let's hear about this. This has got to be, like, how meaningful is this moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying that as the best 30 minutes of my life. It was so, so much fun. Yeah, I was actually at Fort Adams working at an event when we got the email, and my friend Callie was, we kind of reconnected at the festival a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just a special moment once we found out that we were playing, and I was here when I found out, and being from Newport, this is just a dream come true.
She actually told me she was with you in the moment that she got the email. She's telling me the story and how you guys were like crying, and like, I mean, fucking understandably, man. Totally. I'd be crying too. You
totally.
Know?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to overstate how surreal it is to be experiencing and viewing the festival from this angle,
right?
After having viewed it from one place for so long.
I mean, that's surreal enough. If someone just, if you go over here and hand a backstage pass to someone to see a show, like, I'm about like live music and seeing shows from different perspectives. I like hanging out in the back, coming over to the side. I mean, we're getting this a little kind of a sidebar, but just the notion of being able to see it from a different perspective is really cool. Apart from the amazing and awesomeness of being a band from Newport, being at fucking Newport Folk. And
I mean, that's the thing, is that like, when you're someone, and I'm going to go deep on this just really quickly.
Let's go deep on it for 15 minutes.
Let's
man.
Go. When you are a fan, you look up at the stage and you create a persona for the person that's on the stage. You create a whole story for what's going on backstage.
Yeah.
And there is just something, there's something mystical about everything else that's happening outside of your experience.
Yeah.
And that's something that I fought for so many years, because I wanted to be present, enjoy great music. And I mentioned on stage that like the best music I've ever seen in my life was here over the last 10 years. But to finally go to the other side of the curtain, it has lived up to every part of the dream, particularly with Jay Sweet. Because he is such like a figurehead.
He's an iconic character.
He really is. I've been like, we need to make a documentary about this guy. He saved Newport Folk Festival.
I had him on the show. He's amazing. Just to get his perspective on something.
And he's so dialed into the mission. And so to see him here sort of as like the general. And I really wanted him to live up to that when we got behind the curtain. And it was just so surreal when he kind of brought us into a circle backstage right before we went on stage and just started kind of like chopping it up with us and telling us some stories. And then he's like, all right, you guys want to go up? And we walked up with him and he announced us. And I was like,
oh my God,
something strange.
Well, not to mention, we decided to get here at 7 in the morning. I think we were the first artist here by 3 hours.
I mean, the bigger question is, did you even sleep last night?
Right. Yeah. But it was funny. It was also funny. We walked in and pretty much the first person we had a conversation with was Jay. So that was cool too.
Yeah. Yeah. We came in and he looked at us. He goes, we got hit by a tornado last night.
Oh, I know. That was the big
and I was
did
like,
you see that thing?
Oh, crazy.
No. Yeah, that was real, man. I was like at a like an indoor outdoor bar up next to the Newport Blues Cafe, and it was just like, I think it was a couple direct lightning strikes. It was insane.
Oh.
Can you tell me what Jay said to you guys before you were going on in that little huddle?
I don't think we're betraying his confidence to say that he was reciting lyrics from My Morning Jacket songs.
Which ones? I'm a big fan.
They're a song about war paint and tasting it on the sweat when it drips down to your tongue.
Victory dance.
There Victory dance.
That song's about actually getting LASIK surgery and feeling it.
I need LASIK.
Jim James would figure out a way to connect those two things, war and LASIK. But like he was reciting us lyrics, and I felt like I was like seeing this like movie hero get us hyped before
oh
we went
God,
out there.
That's so cool.
Well, I feel like it brought us in and just made us feel super comfortable. And we walked off stage and it felt like we were home.
Right.
That's the craziest thing, is when you're in the position that we were in, and we released our first record a year and a half ago. This is only like our fifth show with like a real band.
Oh, no kidding.
Like really? Dave and I have played.
Was it just the two of you guys?
Well, no, because we would play little duo shows, but we've maybe done like 10 of those.
Right.
But of those 10, only 5 we played with a band.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
so...
So it's like kind of a big debut for in a couple of perspectives.
Totally.
Is this sort of the direction you guys are going to be going in is like with a bigger band?
Yeah.
So what was that feeling when you got up on stage eventually? We talked about the pregame huddle and all this kind of stuff.
It was really interesting because...
Did it live up to your expectations?
Yeah. I feel like neither of us get super nervous when we play shows, but you always have those
pre-show... You said neither of you do?
Neither, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We get these pre-show jitters and whatever, but when we walked up on that stage, it felt really, really comfortable. And I don't know if it's a combination of this is our home.
Yeah, no, here all the time.
We saw some familiar faces in the crowd.
Right.
You see the Newport Bridge that we stare at every single day. It felt really comfortable.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that this is what you guys do. So, yeah. And you've been prepping this for 10 years also. Like, okay, we're on the stage now. But really, you can kind of relax into doing what you do. And it was a great set, man. I really enjoyed it. You guys felt fucking relaxed up there. And if we can sidebar again, Elizabeth Beisel. Okay. And I didn't even know. I'm like, who's the cute fiddler? The fiddler player. She's beautiful. And then someone told me it's Elizabeth. I was like, what? And my daughter, my oldest daughter is 26 now, went to Brown. So I've spent a lot of time in the region.
Cool.
But she's a swimmer. And so, of course, I know who Elizabeth Beisel was. Like,
totally. Hey,
that was 2012, I think, or 2016.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. Well, so.
How did that happen?
Right after we released
Not to talk about somebody else, but no, it's kind of a point of
interest. It is actually interesting because this is sort of like Newport is such a small town. Like, I don't know how people exactly perceive it when they're visiting for the festival because it's overloaded with 100,000 people.
Right.
But, like, it's a really small town at the end of the day. And so the cafe that I go and get breakfast at every morning, Liz's boyfriend, now fiance, was, like, working there for a period of time. And we became really tight. And he was asking me about, oh, you make music. And I played it for him. And he played it for Liz. And
I think they put out the first cover of a Leyden Valley song ever.
The first ever cover.
Oh, and I see.
And
okay.
I didn't know anything about Liz's career as a swimmer.
Uh-huh.
And so I just met her as this like very bubbly, energetic.
She was a bubbly and energetic swimmer. She was awesome. I love everyone loved the personality.
It's cool though, because I think that the whole idea of Leyden Valley is that when Evan started this project by himself, he kind of brought me into the fold and with this idea of collaboration amongst friends and people and we can switch people in and out and we can bring in whoever we're friends with at the time and who's around. And it's been this continuously growing just thing. And it feels like at the end of the day, we're all really friends. We're friends in real life. We're friends before we're musicians. And like, it just makes it such a fun experience.
Is that how you envision it going forward, is being kind of a collab and bringing people in and out?
I mean, eventually we're going to have like a 45 person band if we keep going in this direction. Yeah.
It's the letting people go part that no one talks about.
Well, so it's interesting because we're kind of flexible in the sense of we'll play shows as a duo, as a trio, as a full 7-piece band.
Yeah.
This was kind of our little bluegrassy outlet.
We're moving towards the jam band era.
Right.
But yeah, so there's always just different opportunities where it's like, whenever we need a fiddle player, we're going to call Liz up and she's going to be there. And it's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, when you're in town every day and these people are your friends, like, there isn't that like disconnect, like, oh man, they're not playing with them anymore. I'm not in the band. It's like, you're still hanging at the beach every night of the week.
Yeah. Have you guys gone out? Tell me about a little bit about touring before we get to the new album. Like, what's kind of been the story for you guys?
Yeah, so we...
fifth show ever.
Well, so we formed kind of a little bit pre-COVID.
This was literally the fifth show. I mean, the fifth show with your band, you said earlier.
Yeah, but we'd only done like 5 other shows as a duo.
Wow.
So yeah, we've been pretty tight and we try to be strategic.
Yeah, we...
I mean, that does not... I would not have known that at all from that set. I mean, kudos to you guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we... Coming out of the pandemic, that was really when we started, and that's kind of when we got our legs. And we had actually played a show at the Jane Pickens Theater in Newport, hometown show, and it was coming out of the pandemic, and everyone was just fired up to see live music, and we pretty much sold the place out, and that was kind of the realization for both of us, like, oh shit, this is something that we got to really lean into. And since then, we've kind of played a few shows in the New England area, into Boston, into Connecticut. But we're really excited to start hopefully picking up some support slots for some of the bigger artists that are coming through the region.
Right. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's like, yeah, you guys like seem really chill about it. Like, I guess good things happen when you don't really have to have your foot on the pedal so hard the whole time.
We try to be smart.
Does it feel like that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're always thinking of how we can be smart with how we do it.
Yeah.
We do think that like the model of the traditional like progression of being an artist, especially as a musician, is grind, 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 grind. Get out there, book 300 dates at little places, play for two people all over the country, be away. And we've been kind of like looking at that model with the way that social media plays a part in all of that. And we're like, I don't know that it's necessary to do that to get fans. And so if we can build a fan base in this other way, and tour still in a more like convenient,
humane
way. Yeah, humane
for yourselves,
right? Humane. Exactly.
Do you guys self-manage?
No, we. So Ash, who you might have talked to,
yeah, she's your manager.
Yeah, she's
as of
3 weeks ago.
All right. Well.
And so like we've been doing a lot of things that like basically it's just another part of that ethos of like working smarter.
Yeah,
is having Ash be a part of it.
Oh, good.
To help us like.
Well, I wish you guys luck because like so many people like they come down the road and they were like, yeah. So 2 years late, fast forward 2 years later, they're like, we didn't say no to anything.
Right.
But how old are you guys?
You go first.
I'm 25, so I'm the young gun. Young gun in the crew.
I'm 34.
Uh-huh.
So
he's the wise man.
I'm the wise old guy.
Evan has a wife and a kid.
Okay.
Right. And that plays a role in the equation.
Well, so I mean, like,
were you not supposed to say that?
No. The way he said it.
Well, it's just we gotta be responsible. We can't just take.
Well, when you're 25,
I have no responsibility.
When you're 25, you seem really old to him.
Right, like, exactly.
Because like, he has a wife and kids.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean,
he says that with such a reverence.
Yeah. Well, I've been married for 10 years, and like when I first met Dave, you know, I have a son and a wife, and like Dave kind of came in as part of our family. He felt like a younger brother.
Yeah.
But now he's been getting older. And so, like, you know, we've been friends for like 5 years now, and it's crazy how it went from like little brother to like, you know, kind of being partners in this artistic endeavor.
Right.
And it's changed so much from feeling like he was like this little guy in our family, almost like my other son.
So cute.
Yeah.
And he's cute too, right?
So when he says like he's got a wife and a kid, ball and chain, I'm like, dude, that's your mom you're talking about.
Right. You're the ball and chain, dude, in this equation. Well, that's great. I mean, you kind of know how you want to live and starting this out in a way that can hopefully be pretty sane for you.
Totally.
It's great. You guys are off to a great start.
Thank you.
If nothing else happens, you open Newport 2023.
Right, exactly. I mean,
other great things will happen. You got this this latest album, Landline.
Yeah, so Landline came out.
And then you're working on some new stuff.
Yeah, so we went down to Texas in February, and we recorded a bunch of songs with this artist, Robert Ellis, who
he's
playing on Sunday.
Yeah, he's here, yeah.
He's like a great songwriter, incredible producer.
Yeah.
And we just got into this weird situation where we flew down there. We're in Texas. We thought it'd be nice and warm and like feel like the South or whatever. And we got hit by this ice storm
weird thing that happened when the whole electric grid collapsed.
So it wasn't that one, but it was similar to that.
It was the same story.
We landed in Fort Worth, and that night it was just this great freeze that kind of went over the whole city, and the entire city was shut down.
Every single flight, we somehow got there, but like, it just kind of derailed our plan. And Robert and the two of us were like, we got to pivot, dude. We came down here to make music. And he just put us in the place to like get some great takes. And we went home with like some awesome stuff.
Forget Landline. He threw you a lifeline.
But yeah, so it was funny because a lot of the session players couldn't make it. And we had to just pivot. And we ended up recording couple songs that we never intended to record, but
never saw them going this way. We did 7 weeks of pre-production with Robert. We didn't do any of it how we talked about. And it was like really amazing to see how things turn out when they don't go according to plan.
Wow.
And so we'll finish the album up here, but we're sort of like looking at the songs we did with Robert as like sort of the anchor of the next release.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's working on you on the second one as well.
No, so he's gonna be
he's actually not going to be a part of the second set of songs, but the songs that we did with him in Texas that are going to be all part of the same album.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be like putting a lot of different pieces together.
Yeah.
But that's, again, kind of very much in line with how we roll.
Totally. So you kind of just on the fly, sort of let's see.
We just chase something. We trace something.
We're scrappy.
Yeah.
I can
tell. We see a thing and we're like, that's what we're going to do. And then once we get it, we're like, all right, what are we doing next?
Great. Absolutely. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's exciting, man. I'm excited for you guys.
Thank you.
You know, I'll be keeping a heads up and seeing what's up. And I'm really glad I saw your set. It's just like, I wasn't necessarily familiar with you guys before, but now I am. And I love it. I'm so happy to have you on the show in this momentous occasion. And hopefully in 3 or 4 years, I'll be looking back in this and like, I had these guys on the show and they opened in Newport, man. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Well, you'll be coming back, right?
Oh, hell yeah. I'll see you guys here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really the next goal is to play Newport Folk Festival again.
Here we go. And this is how it starts. Yeah. Right.
We got the bug.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's a good bug to have.
It's the best.
Yeah. Well, I wish you guys a lot of luck.
Thank you so much for having us.
From Leighton Valley. Yeah. Thanks, Evan. Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it.
Great stuff. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Evan St. Martin and Dave Saracen of Leighton Valley, the hometown crew from Newport, Rhode Island, who've only been playing for like a year and a half together, and I would never know that. Their set was amazing. First time Newport, and they opened up the entire Newport Folk Festival. As I told you, the first set on the main stage, as you heard, just amazing to hear them talk about Jay Sweet and how he walked them up on stage and recited lyrics from My Morning Jacket song, Victory Dance, really hyped them up. But, you know, that said, they felt really, really comfortable up there as they always have. These guys are super bright, measured. They seem super stable and reasonable, and they're really kind of mapping out what they think their future is going to look like and being on the road and being more strategic and kind of working smarter. They're really, really smart guys, and their music was just amazing and is just amazing. Their 2021 album Landline is out there. Please go check that out. And they're recording and putting together new music that should be coming out soon, and as well as many singles that are going to be coming out. So that will conclude this 2023 Newport Folk Festival series of in-person interviews that I did from Newport Folk Festival. Really psyched to have been able to bring you all these amazing artists and talk to them. And I really hope you learned more about each of your favorite artists and learned a little bit more about artists maybe that you're now interested in pursuing and listening to. All of them. Just absolutely amazing artists. I want to thank everybody and all the artists that helped make this happen. And for this episode, especially Jeff Gorman and Jake Cochran of Illiterate Light, Jake Ewald of Slaughter Beach Dog, Miriam Diakite and Eric Huffaker of Orchestra Gold, and of course, Evan St. Martin and Dave Saracen of Leighton Valley. Coming up will be my in-person interview series from Lollapalooza. That's a three-parter with some amazing artists, and you'll learn so much about these artists and different types of musical styles that are presented at Lollapalooza. It's a whole other vibe, and those will be coming right up. So thanks so much to all of you for being here for this Newport Folk Festival series of interviews. So glad I could bring all of these amazing artists to you. And I'll see you on the next episode of Roadcase. Thanks again so much for listening. And I'd like to encourage everyone to get involved with Roadcase. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can email me at info@roadcasepod.com with questions, comments, and even suggestions for guests. Or you can follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Roadcase Pod. And we have a YouTube channel called Roadcase Podcast. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. And if you could please rate and review the podcast while you're there, that would be great. So I want to thank Waltzer for this awesome theme music that we have. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to Roadcase. We have a lot of great episodes coming up, so I'll see you on down the road.